Be'ezah Hashem, we are now beginning our Parsha class, Parshas Tetzaveh, and it's also the week of Parshas Zohar. That means to say we are going to take out two Sifrei Torah this Shabbos and reading a special portion of the Chumash, which is going to really be a section of Parshas Kiseitze that talks about Amalek. And the honest truth is that we're going to spend most of the evening on that, and we're going to develop the whole discussion on Parshas Zohar. Tonight is also Zayin Adar, corresponding with the English calendar, March 2nd, 2020. And I just want to touch a little bit about Parshas Tetzaveh, and then we will get into the Parsha Zohar. Parsha Tetzaveh has two main parts that stand out in as a highlight of the Parsha. It talks about the Big Dekhuna, the garments of the Kohanim, the Kohen Hedyet, and the Kohen, of course, the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol had 8 garments, the Kohen Hedyet had 4 garments. And there are many halachas that are attached to these laws of the begadim and the services of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. If it was not done properly with the garments, it wouldn't be kosher. And then right after that goes into preparation for the inauguration of the korbanos. And interestingly enough, as a thought that I wanted to put together, and that is how important it is we should be dressed appropriately before we daven. Because the Big Tikkahuna, or the garments that the Kohen, the Kohanim wore prior to them doing the Korbanos, and right after we talk about the Korbanos that were done as a practice for the first 7 days of their preparation for the inauguration of the Mishkan, and it just speaks so loudly how important it is that we dress with the right attire so that we come to bring a korban, which today is without tefillos, we should be dressed appropriately, and that's so very, very important. This is a tangential remark, but maybe that will help us understand why many people like to come to shul dressed with a hat and with a garto. You know, some people wear that belt around when they come to daven. They would like to be dressed with a proper jacket and with clean clothing, and that they look well dressed while they stand before the Almighty and daven and say their important tefillos. That was just a little bit about Parshas Tetzaveh, but I really want to get into the main discussion today is Parshas Zohar, the parsha that deals with remembering Amalek. So now let's talk a little bit about the event. What exactly took place? So let us turn in our art school Chumashim to page 1066. At the very end of Parshas Kiseitze. Parshas Kiseitze, by the way, I should have mentioned one other thing. I apologize, I didn't say it. Zayin Adar is also the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu,
today?
Huh? On Zayin Adar, right. On Zayin Adar.
Is the what?
It's not today, right?
Zayin Adar. Yes, tonight Zayin Adar.
Today.
Zayin Adar.
Is the what?
Is
of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Is the yahrzeit when he passed away.
On birthday as well.
Huh?
On birthday as well.
That's his birthday as well, he's saying.
That's true, birthday as well, but it's a time that many people who are involved with the Chevra Kedisha and those with giving taharos to the dead are honored with a special seuda to celebrate their selflessness and their overwhelming chesed to the dead, not expecting anything in return, obviously. And it's once a year that this recognition is given to those people who are very involved with the Chevek Kedisha. Just like Hashem took care of Moshe Rabbeinu's burial, so it's a custom that on Zion Adar.
So why don't we all say Kaddish?
That is an interesting question, but that doesn't have to do with us. We're saying Kaddish to help the departed go from one madrega. I would say that I think you hit the high note.
Okay.
You hit the high note. I think you know, it's well taken, but that the point is that Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay, but do we say Tachnum or like? Do we skip Tachnum? We don't do anything for it.
To my knowledge, there's no change in the tefillah. Okay, but. Okay. I mentioned it as a historical point to not to forget. I like to always somehow to mention things that you would have not have heard otherwise, and I just wanted to make a point. Okay, but now let's move on with Parsha Zachor. It's an extremely, extremely important Parsha. This Parsha is read in Shul, and this Parsha in Kiseitse, which we just turned to, is a Parsha that we should listen to Midia Raisa, Minat Torah. And women have to listen to it too. Many shuls have a special reading. I know the yeshiva does in the afternoon, because many women can't come to shul because they're taking care of their young children, and therefore husbands would take over at the time when the women go to the yeshiva to listen to the kriya of Parsha Zachor.
Why is it said this?
That's the next thing I'm going to say. That's exactly the next thing I'm going to say. Parsha Zachor is specifically mentioned or read right before the story of Purim, because the Parsha Zachor talks about remembering the destructive and cruel behavior of Amalek, and we're going to soon read the story inside the text, literally as we get to it. And the story of Purim is a story where Haman, who was a descendant of Amalek, tried to destroy the Jewish people, no different than his ancestors tried to. So therefore, when we mention Amalek, we mention also the story of Purim that is very apropos to what Amalek tried to do us and when we are in the desert. So now let's read on the pasuk, and we'll try to develop the whole concept of Parsha Zachor. Zachor Isasha Osel, let's read on pasuk Yudzayim. Zachor Isasha Osel Cho Amalek. Remember what the Amalek tried to do to you by Derech Betzeschem and Mitzrayim. On the way and leaving Egypt. Asher Korcho Baderech, that he met you on the road, Vayizani Bechor, Kol Hanech Shalom, and he struck all those people who are weakened, that were following you and that were weakened after you. Ve'ata Oyev V'yageya, and you were tired and weary, V'lo Yorei Elohim, and they did not fear Hashem. I want to get back to this pasuk later when I have a lot to say, but I want to get to the text, to the story, so we just get the picture. When Hashem, your God, will relieve you from your enemies, misavav, those who are surrounding you, in the land which Hashem has given to you as a portion, levishtat, as an inheritance, Timcha Ezecha Amalek, you are given a command. Destroy the memory of Amalek, Mitachat Hashemayim Latishkoch. From underneath the heaven, you shall not remember them ever again. So, basically speaking, when exactly did this story take place? The story took place not at the end of Parshas Kiseitse. The story is Bishalach. So turn, please, on page 390. The story itself took place when the Jewish people were leaving Mitzrayim, And they arrived at a place called Rephidim. And when they arrived at Rephidim, there was a certain laxity, a certain shmiras hamitzvos, and Hashem allowed, or I should say, sent Amalek to wake them up, so to say, to attack the Jewish people. And as the pasuk says, if we can read the psukim, we'll look at. Look, but it was really self-motivated, but it was all min hashamayim. On 390 at the very bottom of the page, Vayovay Amalek, Amalek came, Vayalachem im Yisrael Berefidim, and they waged war with the Jewish people at the place called Refidim.
Why did you say God sent?
Hashem masterminded the whole thing, yeah, but it was
because that's when they asked.
But it was the Amalekim who intuitively were looking for a fight. They were looking to do some evil. They were looking to eradicate Kedusha. You understand? The question is, why was it then? So Chazal tell us, the word Rafidim is a play on the word Rafi Yudehem Midivrei Torah. Their hands were weakened from Torah, and at that point, therefore, Hashem allowed the evil to descend on the Jewish people. But let's move on with the story. Vayomer Moshe, and Moshe said, El Yeshua, turn the page to 392. B'chalon Anoshim, Tzei Lachem Ba'amolei. Choose Anoshim. We're referring to not anybody, not simple people, but great people. Anoshim, man of stature. Tzadikim. Tzei Lachem Ba'amolei, go out and wage war against Amolek. Mocho, tomorrow Anochi Nutzav, Al Harosh Hagiva, I will stay on the top of the hill. Umate Ehoelekim Biyodi. And the staff of Hashem will be in my hands. So Yeshua listened to Moshe Rabbeinu, and at that time, we know Moshe Rabbeinu was stood up, and at that time, his hands were up in the air, and when his hands were raised, and Jewish people saw him praying to Hashem, the Jewish people were victorious. When Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands down, the Jewish people stopped praying.
When did he put his hands down?
Well, they were tired.
Oh, right.
But then he saw that it had to be. So then Aaron and Hur came to his aid, and they held his hands up, and he prayed for the welfare of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people were victorious. But as you probably do understand, there was a miracle on top of all of this, is that the sun was setting, and the war was raging on, and Amalek was still not defeated. Moshe Rabbeinu said to, as the Medrash explains, I want the sun to stop setting. I still want the Jewish people to continue waging war, because as you understand, today, in modern warfare, you can fight in the dark. You have all sorts of gadgets and all sorts of instruments that will help you fight your enemy. But when there is no light, you can't fight. So the wars are always only in the daytime and never at night. So he stopped the sun from setting, and at the pasuk ends up saying, Yud Gimel, Vayachalosh Yehoshua es Amalek, and Yeshua weakened Amalek, the es Amo, and his people, Lefi Chorev, by the edge of the sword. You obviously, this Rashi explains, that this was a gezeira from Shemayim, not to completely demolish and kill, just to weaken Amalek. And I'll get into this maybe later, hopefully time will permit me. Now, as we understand, let's finish up the pasuk. V'yemer Hashem al Moshe, pasuk Yudalad, Hashem said to Moshe, Kesov zoz yikaron ba'sefer, have this written in the Sefer Torah, v'sim ba'ozne Yehoshua, and put it in the ears of Yeshua. Obviously, because Yeshua is going to be the next leader, although he wasn't told to be yet. Kimachu emcha ezech amolek, I will for sure obliterate the memory of Amalek. Mitachas Hashemayim, from beneath the heavens. Vayivin Moshe Mizbeach, Moshe then built a Mizbeach. Vayikushma Hashem Nisi, he called it Hashem Nisi. He gave it, and Hashem is my miracle, because there was a miracle. They waged a war, they were attacked just like this. Amalek came and attacked them. Vayoma Hashem says, Kiyod al Keska, my hand will be on my throne, Mokhamal Hashem Bamolek, to wage war, Hashem against Amolek, Midor Dor, from generation to generation. As Mefarshim explained, Rashi explains, it should be Al Kisei instead of Case, and it says Ka, it should Yud K Vav K, it's only Hashem's half a name. So Hashem said, my throne is not complete, and my name is not complete until Amalek is completely destroyed, and we will wage war midor dor. Now there's a lot of commentary that I have to put into all of this, but the simple story on the surface is that Amalek came unprovoked from nowhere, just from his country, because Amalek came to obliterate anything holy. And therefore, they came as they came to attack for no reason, and they actually started a domino effect that took place then and then last till today. We are suffering from anti-Semitism for thousands of years because of Amalek. Like Rashi explains in Kisei, that we had just read the story a while ago, where it's compared to a person. Imagine a gigantic tub that's been boiling with bubbles coming out from the bottom and steam surfacing all over and around. And some foolish man comes by. This is a marshal, but this will get to explain the real reality. And a foolish man comes by and he says, I'm going to be the one to jump into this thing. And he jumps in and he burns and scalds himself from head to toe. People are watching, and everybody is shaken up. But few people said, wait a minute, he did it. And in the meantime, for jumping in, he cooled it off a drop. And another foolish, not reasonable human being says, if he did it, I'll try it too. And he jumps in and he brims himself from head to toe, but he cools it off another little bit. And then a third foolish, and a fourth, and a fifth. And as it continues on, all of a sudden that hot bubbling pot is no longer very hot. It becomes warm, and then until everybody starts to jump in to try to show that they can do it, until the water is no longer warm, it's cold. What does that have to do with us? The Jewish people, when they left Mitzrayim, were like a hot tub. Nobody had the audacity to even think of coming close to Klal Yisrael. It was like this hot, bubbling, bursting with steam. No one would come near it. When Klal Yisrael, as you say, as Yosher came to conquer Eretz Yisrael, all the nations were in terror. There was a fear, there was an awe, there was a respect, and there was this anticipation that Klal Yisrael is the chosen people who was given Eretz Canaan and are on the way to settle. After the Hashem took them out of Egypt, the most powerful, the most civilized, modern country as the world had then had. And now everybody was awe-stricken until Amalek came. When Amalek came, they said, wait a minute, it can't be done. You could strike a drop of terror and a little bit doubt in the minds of other people about the Jewish people being the chosen one. And as they did it, others did it as well. And today, the world of the Jews suffers from anti-Semitism because Amalek was the forerunner of anti-Semitism. Getting now back to the parsha. So now, Parsha Zohar, right, is a mitzvah in the Torah to read in the Torah once a year. However, there is a mitzvah in the Torah to remember Amalek every day. If you have a siddur, please open it up to page 177. Open up to page 176. It says, Zohar is Asher Shalacha Amalek. He's now quoting that part of the Chumash that we said at the very beginning. Remember that which Amalek has done by Derech B'Seishchem and Mitzrayim. I'm not going to repeat the whole thing. We already read it. And therefore, just to know, there is a mitzvah in the Torah to remember what Amalek has done to us and what the repercussions of what Amalek has done to us, and we have a mitzvah to destroy Amalek and to be aware of his decadence. But if we want to understand deeper what has happened, why did Amalek come, let's look at the Medrash. The Medrash, I will quote from Sefer Mishnas Rabbi Aaron. The Medrash on the Pasuk Zohar is Asher Osher L'chol Amalek B'Derech B'Teischem Mitzrayim. Listen to this amazing Medrash. It's not in your print. Just give me a few moments. Marshal Amaha Davidim. It's a marshal to what is this compared to? The Melech to a king Shahayah Loi Paradeis Echad. He had one orchard. The Hakelev Kashur B'Pesach HaParadeis. And there was a dog tied to the entrance of the orchard. Umabit B'chom Mashur B'Paradeis. And he was looking around and like protecting the orchard. Nechnas oihavai shel melech lignay min haparadeis. The closest friend of the king came to the paradeis, to the orchard, to steal some of the fruit. Vashisa boyas hakelev v'kora begodov. The dog attacked him and bit him and tore his clothing. Omar HaMelech, then the king said, he didn't tell the man anything. He said, Imani, I remember, Oyavai. Loma Nechnas Latach Pardishali, why did you come into my Pardish, into my orchard, to steal? Haryani Malbinas Ponav, I would have put him to shame. I didn't want to shame my friend. Allah Oima, I say, Harisa Kelev, Shaita, you see this wild dog? Hech Kores Begadecha, you see this wild dog with your torn clothing? You know why you have torn clothing? Because you went, you entered my paradise, my orchard. Immediately when the man sees what the dog has done to him, he realizes that he entered without permission and tried to steal. This is what Moshe said to Israel. Remember what Amalek has done. Now what it has to do, Amalek in the Medrash is the dog. What was the king trying to tell? The Jewish people. Why was the dog sent? Why was Amalek sent? Says in Mishnah Rabbi Aaron, what happened was, we are told to remember what Amalek has done. It's not just to remember that Amalek attacked. It's not to obliterate. To obliterate is not your job, really. It's Hashem's job to obliterate. What are you to remember? Remember that a Molech Tang? Why should you remember? Says the Rav Aaron Kotler Zitzal. The Medrash should tell you to remember why the Amalek came. He came because Sharafu Yedehem Midivrei Torah. You were weakened from your learning Torah. So I wanted to remind you that you had obligations. You had been responsible to uphold the Torah. Remember, we had a Har Sinai, you know, or we're going to Har Sinai. Remember, that's what was right before Har Sinai. You have responsibilities. You're becoming an Am Segula. You're becoming a special people. Remember that. And therefore, Hashem wanted you to remember what Amalek did, because you are forgetting your goal as a holy people. Since you're forgetting as a holy, so zechira, the remembrance is to remember why Amalek came. Do you know why Amalek came? It's to remind you that you are a holy people. And therefore, as a result, by remembering that, then Amalek put you on your feet, and when you remember why a molecule come, then you will always try to put yourself in check so you don't slip and get yourself into trouble.
But this is before Matan Torah.
Yes, but they did accept certain mitzvahs before in the place called Moro. You're 100% right. And therefore,
okay, but they're on the 49th level. Like
not you, not any longer.
Okay,
they're almost
42.
Not 42 either. They're very close to
zero.
And every level they went out of, they went into Kedusha. You're talking about their prior, right before Har Sinai. You're talking about out of 49.
Well, it's after the parting of the Red Sea.
No, I understand, but they're right now in every level they went out of Tumah, they were right prior to Chodesh Nisan, or Sivan, I mean, Chodesh Sivan, which means they were maybe, let's say 40 levels into Kedusha.
Okay.
40 levels into Kedusha, and they were given in the place called Mara, they were given the laws of Paraduma, they were given Shabbos.
And what weakened them?
Huh?
What weakened their Torah? What weakened them?
Okay, their weakness was that they were not dedicated enough, and they were weakened in their emunah. Because to remember, when they came to Rephidim, they started arguing. They were complaining. They were complaining. They didn't have what to drink, and the way they complained. The way they complained showed a lack of respect for Hashem. After all, if Hashem has done so many miracles until now, there shouldn't have been a doubt in the moon in Betochen that Hashem was capable of doing everything that was necessary. If you've lived through the 10 Makkos and you lived through the splitting of the sea and you've seen all that, then why would there be doubt? Will Hashem give us water or not? And the complaint came inappropriately. You know, they were like battling. They were disrespectful to Moshe about having to be given water. There was this kind of attitude, and then Hashem allowed Amalek to appear. So anyway, so what Aaron is telling us, that when we have to remember Amalek, remember, meaning, I always wondered, what do you mean, what should I do with remember?
Yeah.
What should you do with the remember? Here he's telling you what you should do with the memory. Remember why he came. He came because we were weak in our Torah, in our commitment, in our Yirah Shemayim, in our understanding that Hashem is running the world.
That's not very That's not being spelled out. The reason's not being spelled out.
I understand. That's why we have a medrash to explain to us that Hashem allowed Amalek to wake them up. It was a wake-up call. Why did the dog come and bite me? You know why? Because I entered the paradis, the orchard, without permission. Why? You know, why did Amalek come? You know why? Because you express no Yerushalayim. So then Amalek had to come and wake you up and says, you know, you better have some Yerushalayim. Okay, so let's just move on, and I want to explain a little bit more what's happening over here. So now, where is the Shirashim of all this? Where does Amalek get his power or his strength to be able to do this, to go to a Jewish people? So for this, I want you to turn to the Chumash, and we may have mentioned it before in a different parasha, but this is important to mention it now. And this is in Parshas Toldos. Parshas Toldos on page 140 in your Art School Chumash. In Parshas Toldos, we are turn to Pasuk Mem. The very, very beginning, and this will also answer why this is right before the story of Purim. In Parshas Toldos, you all remember very briefly that Esav was tricked by Yaakov Avinu and taking away his blessings. Esav discovered that his blessings were given to Yaakov, and he let out a bitter, terrifying cry and begged his father for a bracha. Finally, his father responded. Let's look at Pasuk. We'll go back to Pasuk Yutes. Vayan Yitzchak Aviv, and Yitzchak, his father, answered. Vayomer Elohim, said to him, Hinei Mishmani Aretz, behold, from the fat of the land, Yiyeh Moshavecha, will be your dwelling places. Umital Hashumayim, and from the dew of the heavens, Mayal, from above. Vayalchar B'chasichia, you live by your sword. Vesachicha Ta'avod, and your brother you will serve. Now this is the punchline. Vahoy Kasha Torid, and when you will be in pain, when you see your brother not serve Hashem appropriately, ufarakta ulo mayal tzavarecha, and you will throw off his yoke from upon your neck. In other words, Yaakov will always be over you, Esav, but you can always have a break. Whenever he doesn't listen to Hashem, then you will throw that yoke over and you will be his superior. This is where Esav has control, and this is where Amalek has control, and this is where we see why throughout history, whenever the Jewish people don't do what they ought to be doing, it's part of Esav's blessing. Just like Yaakov got a blessing from his father Yitzchak, and it's coming true, and it always comes true, the bracha to Esav will also come true. And Yitzchak, with his foresight, understood that Yaakov won't always be the Yaakov that he should be on a high level. And he had to try to put that balance into focus, so that Chas v'Shalom, that Yaakov shouldn't fall altogether. He needed a whipping boy. He needed somebody to go ahead and put him on his feet. And therefore, Esav was that whipping boy. Yitzchak, in his genius of helping Yaakov and helping Klal Yisrael, put Esav as the whipping boy, which later became Amalek. And now we understand the story of Purim and how appropriate Purim is before, right after Parshas Zohar, because the whole story of Purim is all about the Jewish people not listening to Mordechai and obeying the Torah the way they were supposed to listen to Talmidei Chachamim. And when they go down, then Esav goes up. And who's Esav? Amalek. Who's Amalek? Haman. And Haman was given the power to be superior over Mordechai. He was given the power to be the superior the person and to even try to obliterate Gan's Klal Yisrael, because that was the power Yitzchak gave Esav that went into the genes of Amalek, and now Haman was able to do it. As soon as Mordechai got the Jewish people to do tshuva, then Haman goes down when the Jewish people go up. So that basically tells us a little bit the story of Amalek. So now I want to answer another important question. If this is so, then what's the whole idea over here of Mochai Timcha Zech Amalek? You should obliterate the memory. What's the Mochai? We have a mitzvah to remember Amalek. Okay? But what are we, what can we do to obliterate? Physically, Hashem does that. But what do we do? If we to physically obliterate, how could we in our generation today, we don't even know who they are exactly. Yes, we do have a mitzvah to physically obliterate, but there is a mitzvah to obliterate. What is that obliterate all about? So I want to draw your attention. Who? What was really in the weaponry of Amalek? What did Amalek have? We have to turn now back to the Kiseitse and back to 1066. In 1066, a very, very important thing. Let's go back to the Pasuk. I told you I was going to go back to it. In page 1066, we're going to go back. What was in the arsenal of Amalek that made him so dangerous to the Jewish people? So he had three weapons. Let's go into read the pasuk again. So Amalek, remember what Amalek has done, but Derech Mitzayis Chem Mitzrayim, the way that they left Mitzrayim. Asher Korcha Baderech, which they have happened to meet the Jewish people on the road. Says Rashi, two explanations. Asher Korcha means, the word Korcha means cold and hot. You know what that means? Cold and hot means they make anything that has Kedusha into a joke. That's called mockery. Asher Korcha Baderech. They have another reason. Asher Korcha has come from Tumah, from issuing semen through getting immorality going, and they were very big in Tumah. Asher Korcha Baderech. Next, Vayizani B'chol, Kohan Nechisholim. They went ahead and they had attacked the weaklings. What were these? What happened over here? Rashi says they went ahead to the weaklings and they took their bris and they cut it off. They cut off their milah to show us that we don't have any respect for the Jewish people and for their mitzvah. And the third thing is, in other words, they went ahead and they were despising the mitzvah bris milah. And finally, it says v'lo yorei alekim, and they didn't fear Hashem. There were three elements, three things. There was immorality, and it comes suddenly. There was this despise of holiness, and this was not fearing of Hashem. Amalek is not only a physical danger like Haman tried to physically obliterate the Jewish people. Amalek is a theology. Amalek is a way of living. It is a life full of tumah. It's a life of mockery. Anything that's holy gets to be mocked. Litzonis, mockery, put it down. That's nothing. Just laugh it off. Nothing. That don't make a big deal. Everything that holds. That's the every newsstand that has immoral pictures. Everything on the internet that has immoral scenes. There is Amalek. Every billboard that shows you immoral, promiscuous scenes. There's Amalek. Amalek is all around us. And the Rambam says we are all affected by our environment. We are all affected by Amalek. So when we say, Machay Timcha Zech Amalek, not only is it talking about the Amalek that you see out there, out in the media, but it's the Amalek in us. If we're affected by the environment, then we have some of the Amalek in us, that we're affected. We are also inculcate the image. We inculcate the tumah. We inculcate the message of Amalek. And sometimes we can't get away of it. So we say, Machay Timcha Zech Amalek. Hashem is telling us, I want you to obliterate, get rid of the Amalek in you, too. And by doing that, you will be able to be superior and win over Amalek and serve Hashem. I think this is the call of the hour. Now, Pashas, of course, the time to take stock of our religious stand against Amalek, and we can do it. And if we try our best, Hashem will help us succeed, and we will be matzliach as we approach Parshas Zachar. We will be matzliach in fulfilling the mitzvah of being Mochay Timcha Zech Amalek Mitachas Hashemayim L'Tishka. Have a wonderful week. I would just like to add one or two more minutes to what I said about Amalek to clarify some of the dangerous influences that he has over Klal Yisrael. The last powerful tool in his arsenal is V'lo Yorei Elokim, and he does not fear Hashem. What does that really mean? And I said that we're all exposed to this philosophy, and it's something that we can't just break away easily without working against it. What does that mean? They didn't fear Hashem. It means that they lived in this world without believing in Hashgacha Pratis, without believing that there's a guiding hand, that the world was created with intelligent design. They believe everything is teva, nature. If anything happens, it's only coincidental. It's only accidental. There's nobody in charge. There's no one to fear. There is just teva, nature. This whole concept of not believing in Hashgacha Pratis, where Hashem is guiding every moment in our lives, is a philosophy that Amalek strongly believed in, and he was diametrically against the philosophy of Klal Yisrael. And this is something that we are living in. We are enveloped in this philosophy because we believe naturally with the things that we always see without questioning it, and therefore we are affected by this philosophy that the world runs on nature and that there is no heavenly hand and intelligent design that's running the world. As a result, we are affected. So when we say Machay Timcha Zech Amalek, we should obliterate the memory of Amalek. We should obliterate the influence that Amalek has in us. The Amalek in us has to be obliterated, that we believe in Hashem's guiding hand. We believe in Hashgacha Pratis, that everything is heavenly designed. We believe that Hashem runs the world. And by believing in that, we obliterate the influence and the memory of Amalek. And to be doubly guaranteed that you will have a successful operation against Amalek's influence is through learning Torah and learning Musa, that's guiding our midos and our behavior. And with this, we will be able to succeed in obliterating the memory and the influence of Amalek.